We gotta put people away. When we get them down, we put our foot in their throats and we put them away.
We gotta step on their throat and turn. That's what we gotta do.
Somebody gonna get hit in the mouth today, and it ain't gonna be me.
The Packers have played their four quarters. Now it's time for the fifth quarter. Here are Matt and Rob with Gannett Media's Eric Baranchek.
It is time for the fifth quarter, brought to you by Title Town Brewing and Evergreen Power. You can count on them, Highway 41 and N Little Chute. From Gannett Media, Eric Baranchek in the studio with us this morning. Was this a trap game?
They're all trap games. Of course it was a trap game. And they, you know, as good as you felt last Monday, you're just, the pendulum swung the exact opposite way this week, and you're feeling just as good as you could. Now you're as bad as you could possibly feel.
So the fans talking all week, potential trap game, potential trap game. The coaches say, no, that doesn't really, it doesn't exist.
That's, and of course they still say that even after it's done.
It's not an issue. So we see it coming. How do you avoid it as a team and coaching staff?
Let's rip the Band-Aid off right away.
Yeah.
Let's not beat around the bush.
How do you make sure your team is up and prepared?
You know, when it comes to coaching, there's an old saying, and some people believe it and some people don't. But the reality is, good, solid coaching staffs, when you're playing a team that may be inferior or a poor record or everybody thinks you should win.
A team you're favored to beat heavily.
By 14.
Yeah.
Those are the weeks where you got to coach the hardest, and there's no room for error at practice. It is just a grind, because you got to somehow make those, your players and your team, feel like you're playing the greatest team on turf, right? That's what you have to do as a coaching staff in order to get your team to play up and stay up. Because, you know, you had the big win on Sunday night against Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers. Big win. So you got an emotional high. You come back down and you're playing, it's the Panthers. They're not very good. You know, we're going to crush them, blah, blah, blah. But you have to take that team and make them feel like they're playing the greatest football team ever. And you have to be ready to play and have to be very detailed in everything that you do that week. When you're playing against the Eagles, you don't have to coach as hard, because in that situation, everybody in that locker room knows who they're playing, and they all know what's at stake. When you're playing the Cardinals, the Browns, and the Panthers, it's hard. Those are weeks that are hard to coach, and unfortunately, you can't trust that this team is going to be able to play at a high level and not play down to the level of their opponent.
Yeah, and you lose 16-13 at home, but man, did you have opportunities. It's a game of missed opportunities. I mean, you're constantly in the red zone, but 1 of 5 there. And
interceptions.
You got turnovers, the penalties, yeah. Another missed field goal. You're not finishing off the long drives, but you had tons of long drives where you were moving the ball.
Yeah, 9, 12, 14. I think there's a 15-play drive in there, too, that you just, they were running up and down the field, but they couldn't get in the end zone. And that's been kind of the bugaboo all season is, you know, when they're in the 25-yard line, that's got to be an automatic touchdown.
So Coach LaFleur talked after the game, this is what the Panthers wanted our offense to do. What did you see from the Panthers defense? Kind of explain that for people, why it was, hey, you can sort of dink and dunk on us, but we are going to eventually wait for your mistakes.
Right. Well, there's a style of defense and when you play it with two guys deep or four deep, or you play loose over the top so that nothing gets over the top of you, you leave stuff underneath, right? And the theory is, you catch the ball fine, but I'm going to tackle you. I'm not going to let you rip off a 60-yard touchdown or a 45-yard touchdown. You're going to have to beat me at the tackle to win. And that is a perfectly logical way to play defense. And some defensive coordinators love doing that, because you got 22 eyes looking at the quarterback and looking in the backfield, and you have the opportunity then to just make sure that we tackle and smother everything up. And that's what happened. To beat that, you got to be aggressively running the football, and you got to hit the stuff in the middle part of the field where there is a hole. And for some reason, you know, that just wasn't happening yesterday. I don't understand the not running. I mean, the tight ends were open all night. I mean, even when you lost
Kraft,
you still had the tight ends were still there. Now, you saw, you know, Luke Musgrave in the end of the third quarter caught that one, and along the Packers sideline there, and he, you know, what Kraft brings is that he gets that first down, right? He's gonna make him miss. He's gonna run a guy or two over. Or Musgrave is gonna catch it, and he's gonna do a really fine job catching it. He's gonna get a yard or two after the catch, and that's about it. You know, he doesn't have that extra oomph or that extra gear that Kraft seems to have.
How does the offense change moving forward without Tucker Kraft, as it appears that they'll be without?
The biggest effect of this law is not in the passing game. You would think automatically it's the passing game. It's not. It's the run game, because he was a devastating blocker at times, but he was a capable blocker all the time. Now you got two tight ends that are maybe capable some of the times, and other times they look like they're fish out of water. Like they're doing it just because they have to, not because they enjoy it. And that's going to change. The split zone play, also anything around the edge. You know, they used to line up two tight ends on one side of the ball in an unbalanced formation, and the two tight ends there, that was pretty deadly. Not only in the run game, but then, you know, you run a few times and then you pass out of that, where the inside guy, the number two receiver on that side, is going to go out for a pass, and usually it's usually a decent gain. They're going to have to mix things up. I think they're going to have to roll the quarterback up around a little bit. They're going to have to put pressure on linebackers to get out of position. And more importantly, they're going to have to run the ball effectively.
Yeah, and to be injured by getting kicked in your knee by
your own
teammate.
Guy.
You don't see the ACL injuries happen that way.
No.
And it's not official that it's an ACL tear, but reports coming out after the game is that's the big fear from the organization.
We're going to find out. He's probably at the hospital right now getting an MRI.
You got to let the swelling go down, and you do the MRIs and things, but the big fear is that the season's over for Tucker Kraft.
Yeah.
He was playing such good football.
Yeah.
It's the fifth quarter with our special guest, Gannett Media's Eric Baranchek. So we mentioned they had long possessions in the game. They're moving the ball, but they're getting into the red zone. They just couldn't finish. Why were they having so many problems finishing off those long drives?
I think they need to just keep. I mean, when you get inside the 20-yard line, that's Josh Jacobs' territory. They got to pound the ball and just pound it, and until they can get safeties and linebackers creeping up on those situations, where then you can make the throws. The corner throws, the stuff along the sideline, and more importantly, the middle part of the field. So they're going to have to figure out which one of those receivers is going to take that role of catching the ball inside the numbers and inside the hash marks there. And they have to do it. And this could be a good opportunity for this offense to take a deep breath and kind of go back to the whiteboard and start drawing stuff up. I mean, there's because teams are going to do it, right? You know, just like how do you play offense against the Packers defense? Short passes, get the ball out quick. Well, now the blueprint is out there. We're going to play loose over the top and make you get downfield on us. And as many penalties they have and fourth down and eight calls, you know, I'm alluding to a silly call and bad decision making that, you know, as a defense, you just sit back and there's going to be interceptions. There's going to be fumbles. There's going to be
procedural penalties.
The
false starts, the holdings on the offensive
offenses
line.
Offenses will self-destruct.
Yeah.
If you allow them to self-destruct.
That's the bet from a defensive coordinator, that over time you're going to screw up. I'm not going to.
Right. So I'm going to play safe and over the top.
Yeah.
I'm going to tackle rather than go up and pick off plays.
Now, you alluded to the fourth and eight play. Why don't you directly address the fourth and eighth play?
Get the field goal. Get the points.
So you're down 7 at that point. It's the fourth quarter. There are 10 minutes, 45 seconds left in the game. It was 3rd and 3. Your third down play results in a 5-yard loss.
Ugh,
Coach LaFleur says, motion played part in going for it on 4th and 8. Angry about the loss of 5. Like, we're going to get this. But man, take a beat and take the points.
Yeah, that's a situation where you got to be level-headed and make that decision, because that hurt. That really hurt. You know, that at the bare minimum, the game goes into overtime, right? And, you know, you sometimes you just got to, all right, live for another day. Let's kick it and get out of here.
Yeah, I mean, it end up being a 31-yard field goal attempt. I mean, McManus had already missed one from a deeper distance, but you figure, all right, let's just say he's going to make that.
Yeah.
Now you're down four. You stop Carolina on their next possession. Your defense looks good, shuts them down, yep. Gets you the ball back. And, man, you're only down four now with the ball back and plenty of time.
You go up.
You can go down and get the win now.
Right.
Right? And fourth and eight.
And that was
eight yards.
That was a great defensive stand, too. They gave up 13 yards and punt. You know, go for it. That's beautiful. That's all you can ask for.
Yeah. What'd you make of the Packers' run defense yesterday?
It's the old
Rico Dowdle.
You can draw up the best schemes for human beings to play football, but you can't take the human being out of the football player. And what happens is this: when the running back, first of all, he ran with his eyes amazing yesterday. Did an amazing job of reading the defense with his eyes and making guys miss and just seeing a small crease and getting up the gap. I mean, that's pretty special when you have a guy that can make you pay, but also runs with his eyes. You know, that's a part of the running back position that you don't really hear about, but it's really important when you get guys moving and being able, you know, you look back at who were guys that used to run with their eyes. Adrian Peterson was probably the best that I can remember in my lifetime of being able to run with his eyes and being able to see where guys are out of position, even if it's only a couple of inches, and be able to make them pay and get up inside there. And so when your running back is doing that, the whole defense starts to collapse, and you forgive the gap that you're responsible for, because God bless it all, I got to get to that running back. And that's just human nature. You're aggressive. You want to go and get to the running back. However, if you got a guy that reads well with his eyes, or runs well with his eyes, I mean, he had, you know, Evan Williams, who started flowing because it was a flow to the outside, and they hemmed it up on the edge. It was really good on the edge. Everybody interior was good. But if you watch the sideline view or the end zone shot, you see Evan Williams drifting because that to the flow rather than staying in his hole. And he saw his helmet go away, and boom, there it went for 19 yards. You can't have that. It's really hard to play disciplined football when the other team is running the football like that, because human nature is to go get the football. I'm going to bail out my team. I got to make a tackle. Like, we got to stop this guy. And in the process of that happening, you make mistakes. And that was a big one. And he had another one earlier in the game, too, Evan Williams did, where he came up and Bullard, same thing. You know, they were just a little bit loose in their gaps where they should have been. And that running back was good enough with his eyes to be able to squeak through there.
A little lack of discipline, right?
100%.
Yeah.
But it's really hard. I mean, the guy's going off for a bunch. It's hard to stay disciplined in that situation.
25 carries, 130 yards. I mean, Rico Dowdle looked like the best player on the field.
Yeah, what was up with that?
I mean, he went off. He was why they win that game.
He's a talented guy. You know, he's got some speed. He's got size. And, you know, he put it all together and was able to read well and run behind his pads. And that was tough. Tough ball game.
So you lose to the Panthers, but you're 5-2-1. You're still atop the NFC North. Minnesota knocks off Detroit. Detroit now second place, tied with these Bears, who are now 5-3.
Where'd that come from?
They get a big win on the road yesterday.
I thought they were supposed to be complete garbage this year.
Yeah.
It looked like they were floundering and it was over, but.
Yeah.
Next up, the Eagles, Monday Night Football. It's at Lambeau. Eagles coming off rest, coming off their bye. They're 6-2. Huge matchup at Lambeau Monday night.
My guess is the Packers are going to play really hard. It's going to be a tough, tough ball game, and they're going to stick in it. Probably be one of those games that comes down to the last possession. But, you know, you're not going to have two diaper games in a row with this team. I don't think. I just don't think they're, you know, the consistency isn't there. When they're playing the teams that you should beat, you gotta pistol whip them. And in this game, I mean, everybody knows it. The whole country is going to be watching, and the whole country knows that that the Eagles are good and the Packers are going to play up. But the problem is, when they face an opponent that everybody feels they should lose, those are the times that you got to come out there and put your foot to the gas and win that game in the first half. And it just seems like they can't get there.
We're no longer going to call them trap games, and I'll call diaper games.
I like games, diaper games.
Yes, Gannett Media's Eric Baranchek. It's been the fifth quarter. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.